Good morning. Today is Wednesday. It's the last of May.
Wild.
Yeah. It should be about half speed now. So maybe I'll talk real slow. Joining us this morning, back-to-back weeks.
Wowie.
Natalie Arroyo. Boy, I guess you just either really like me or don't have anything going on. And we'll just kind of leave that one out there for speculation.
Morning. Or I'm the least popular supervisor right now, and so I get a...
No, you're the most popular.
Oh, the most popular. Oh, yeah. That's what I meant. Yes. Yeah. My bad.
Jeez.
Well, nice to be back.
Good. Nice to be back. Nice to have you back. I guess, yeah.
I don't know if your listeners...
No, I'm trying to think because we recorded the week before I was out of town.
That's right. You were in Hawaii, weren't you?
In Kauai, yeah.
Yeah. I let the cat out of the bag.
Humid.
It's humid.
Yeah.
I'm from Florida, so I have no sympathy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was some guy, Joe, who's one of the guys was from Florida, and he didn't think that it was all that humid.
No.
And it's
no.
Like, okay, well, you're wrong. Oh, but it was a nice little getaway. I had forgotten how painful long air flights are.
Mm.
Yeah. And I even got leg room this time.
Did you get those compression socks?
No, I was told I was supposed to wear them, but I thought they looked dorky with sandals.
They are pretty dorky. Compression socks and that.
Easiest way to go through the security stuff, right, is sandals.
True. You
pop them off, pop them on. I wasn't going to go through the rigmarole.
Indeed.
So, anywho. All right, you got control of the book here, girl, so.
I do.
Choose one, and let's see if I have a chance at it.
Well, in honor of our, I don't know if you, we surely have not talked about this, but I'm from a birding family.
No, I knew a birder, Moose Matthews.
Oh.
But that's, he's been gone for a long time.
Huh. So in honor of the red-footed booby that was recently seen in Humboldt, that's normally from tropical locations.
Really serious wrong turn.
I selected booby hatch. Do you know what booby hatch is?
Well, I would figure it's like a birdhouse.
Good guess. That's
totally wrong.
Dead wrong.
I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Many sailing ships had deck openings or hatchways that led to sections below. As a safety measure, every hatchway was supposed to be covered with a trap door or grating. In time, the movable covers took the name of the holes they protected. On long voyages, sailors often became delirious. Such, quote, boobies had to be kept below for their own safety. So the sailors were the boobies.
Oh.
Naturally, a hatch that prevented a booby from coming on deck came to be known as a booby hatch. Cartoonist Milt Gross picked up the old seafaring expression and used it in World War II newspaper strips. And that is why we use booby hatch as a label for a mental facility. Now you know.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking of like the old Spanish galleons and pirate ships. There was always the grating. I hadn't realized that guys went dinghy.
That took a lot of turns, short.
So did you have a clue?
I didn't know.
Okay.
Even though I'm in the Coast Guard, I had no idea.
Well, yeah, I figure you've been on more ships and boats than I have.
You know what? I have to admit, I'm kind of a land-loving coastie. All my jobs have been primarily land-based. I just haven't
been... An office worker?
No, I do inspections, and I do hazardous substance and material response, but most of that ends up being on
like
small boats or from shore.
Spills on the water?
Yeah, but I've been on small boats, but never been like out at sea for weeks at a time.
Oh.
I've never been what they call underway.
Yeah, okay.
Which
you're
is
home
a,
each night.
A phase in many coasties' lives that they love to remember fondly, but also find miserable. So
it's
a combo.
Kind of like certain classes in school. Uh-huh. You suffer through it and then you come back.
And then later you tell great stories about
it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or like county budgets.
Mm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I had to bring it around to something that was pertinent.
Wow, yeah. I was hoping to.
Yeah, shuck and jive on that one, huh?
Yeah.
Any updates? Is it looking any different now or any more clarity? Or?
Well, we had an in-depth budget discussion last Monday. Unfortunately, I had COVID last week, and so I was participating remotely and trying very hard to seem as alert as possible.
How did it hit you? Were you just kind of...
I'm sorry?
Were you just kind of groggy?
Oh, I was pretty feverish at that point. So, but I sat upright and zoomed like a pro.
Zip ties do amazing things.
I really propped myself up with a lot of pillows there.
Couldn't breathe real well, but you were there.
Mike Wilson said I looked so sick he thought it would like come through the camera. So, but don't worry, I'm well.
Well, good.
Now.
At least somebody was watching you.
Yeah, somebody was making sure I was okay. Yeah. So we had an in-depth discussion of kind of where we stand, and you know, we're the board will adopt or consider adoption of the budget on Tuesday of next week, June 6th. Yep.
Okay.
And that'll be when we ultimately know, but I think we're looking at a pretty significant budget overage that we do have some funds to make that up, but that'll
pulling
put us in
contingency.
Yes, exactly. Well, it'll put us in kind of a tight place in the future.
That's why it's there.
Exactly. That is why it's there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the goal was really avoiding layoffs because, you know, we employ over 2,000 people. We take that responsibility
really. It's up
really,
to 2,000 now?
Really seriously.
Somehow I'd locked that it was 1,500. But that obviously was a little while ago.
You know, I might have to check whether that's the number of positions in departments or whether
they're... You're more current than I am.
Yeah.
Gee, give yourself a little bit of credit. Somebody better.
So we're really seeking to avoid layoffs at all costs and, you know, kind of tightening our belts everywhere else.
Position freezes?
We are looking at freezing hiring of new positions except for... we were looking at a provision to allow for hiring of law enforcement. That's a long process. There's a lot of background checks. And stopping that completely might be a little bit tough on.
So any department in that silo, DA and probation and all those guys also?
It was just sworn officers in particular that we were looking at.
Badges and guns. Those are the good ones to pay attention to.
Those ones apparently have the longest backgrounding process. So, all the... all the process that takes a long time to get through, so we figured we'd let that keep on rolling.
Oh, you guys are all sweethearts.
You're such sweethearts. That's what the people say. You know, those supervisors, they sure are sweethearts.
That's why they line up outside the chambers.
Mm-hmm.
You just didn't realize.
With
that.
Roses.
Yeah, or at least thorns. It's 8:19. We'll be back with more from Natalie.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Natalie Arroyo, Humboldt County 4th District Supervisor. Not to be confused with the 3rd.
Nope. Or any of the other
numbers. Or the 8th. I mean, just 9th, 10th. Yeah.
Some people might like to see us divvied up a little differently.
Representing the Ocho District, which doesn't exist. Yeah, I can't imagine what the difference would be like if you had as many as San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
It'd be like every block would be represented.
Isn't it like 11?
Yeah, it's some goofy number.
Yeah.
But the population probably warrants it.
Sure.
Or like Alturas and some of the real rurals where there's 3. Oh, okay. So that would be an interesting dynamic also.
Sure.
I don't know. So with the budget.
Okay. Okay, let's come back to the real fun stuff.
Yeah. Well, you're looking at the 6th. Mm-hmm. Are there going to be updates between now and then? You had said something about clarifying or really getting to know. Well, okay, you got 3 business days between now and then, and if it has to be posted, you know, okay, now you got a day and a half. I would think it's pretty well
It's pretty well cooked. I think there were some staff work to do behind the scenes to finalize some of the numbers, and you know, all of it is we're still waiting on the last couple of years' audits to be completed. So
they're pretty close, though, aren't they?
They're getting close. By this time next year, we'll be fully caught up. That's what the auditor controller has shared with me. So that does mean we're, you know, we have a little more clarity now. We certainly know how much money we have in the bank, but there's that a little bit helps. Of a question of you know, where exactly it was supposed to go and come from that still needs to be kind of finalized. So I will say we're not playing with a full deck, but we're getting close.
Oh, you have heard those comments from out in the hall.
Yeah. Well, and you know, our staff are working really hard on it. Honestly, I have to give them a lot of credit for working hard to get caught up.
Well, they really compressed and done some magic. I mean, in what, 5 months?
Yeah, they have. They've been kicking butt.
Yeah. Where is it with the state now? Have there been the reports filed that were missing or that weren't being done or were done incorrectly?
Yeah, that's getting caught up too. I think our auditor controller gave an interview that I read recently, and I, you know, she said occasionally they'll learn about things that are compliance things they need to do that they didn't know about, and then they'll just go, whoop, we'll get right to it and get it done. So there's a little bit of...
But the trust is being rebuilt.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Cool. So right, that's gotta be. You're not hanging out down there, or you're not... She's not coming in and...
You know, we had bagels the other day. I have to say, when I first, you know, came in January, I said I want to meet with every single department and tour them. And what I haven't done is get to every office within DHHS, Department of Health and Human Services, because they have offices all over town. It's really extensive. So I'm going to do that
There's a clue there.
Indeed there is. Is it about our county facilities?
Just a clue. I don't know how you interpret it is how you interpret it.
Dropping the subtlest hints over here.
Yeah, I'm known for subtlety.
But I've been really making an effort to meet all of our departments. And you know,
biggest surprise.
Biggest surprise. Ooh, actually, the Ag Commissioner, and all of the things
and
that
weights.
Weights and measures.
Yeah.
That, I mean, they have so much equipment to measure and weigh things.
Yeah,
and
run around. It's.
I didn't know the extent to which they did that.
Well, I was buds when Falkenstrom was there.
Oh, okay.
So what's that, 30 years ago, 25 years? I mean, if today is May, yeah, it could have been 35 years ago. But I had kind of went, heh. And he said, no. Every scale in every grocery store, if you're off by, and he had some numerical figures that were
like a margin
available.
Of error.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He said, that's $100,000 out of the local economy.
Yeah.
And if you're by this much, it's that and gas. And
they do all the
all
gas
these,
stations.
All
yeah.
these things that are, you know, for most of us, if it's off by 1/100th of a percent,
mm-hmm.
Close enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not for that department.
No.
It has to be right on. Otherwise, somebody's getting either losing money or not receiving the monies that they should.
Mm-hmm.
And when you multiply it out by all the numbers of transactions, it turns into a real number.
Yeah, absolutely. No, they do a great job with consumer protection. And they, you know, I think people joke around about, you know, how would you know if a gallon of gas is really a gallon of gas? And, you know, they're fleecing you. And these folks are out there checking to make sure that a gallon of gas is really a gallon. So it's pretty incredible. The extent to which they measure and weigh all of the kind of devices in Humboldt, that's like a very behind-the-scenes thing that I frankly never knew about. I will also say our public health lab has capabilities that are far beyond what I realized to test water quality, to, you know, collect human specimens, and even to do...
Not without permission.
With permission, and even to you know, the public health department can even you know, deal with mass contagion and you know, even I guess outbreaks of or terrorist attacks. So I didn't know that they had that ability. Really, bioterrorism is something that thankfully we've not seen here, but you know, they're prepared for.
Could happen.
Yeah.
KINS News and Information, it's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Natalie Arroyo.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information. Time is 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Natalie Arroyo. So, Natalie, is you, well, I guess, yeah, you're coming up, what, 5 months in?
End of the fifth month here.
Yeah, now, a couple times back, I'd asked you if you were surprised at the magnitude of the job and the difference between city and county. I've talked to a couple folks in the interim, and it's like universal. Everybody who thinks they know really quickly understands they don't have a clue. Are you to the stage of being dangerous yet? Or are you still dangerous, just kind of finding your way through the morass?
I'm doing my best to still be open to new information and absorbing and not, you know, I haven't, you know, by any means become set in my ways or convinced that I know everything. I am really appreciative of the fact that I got to serve on, we had, to go through our budgeting process this year, we had, for the first time, we had two supervisors who met with every department and talked through their budget before it came to the full board. And that was a chance to ask questions and to you know, kind of suss out any issues that they had in advance.
And to compress your learning curve.
And to really show me everything that, you know, was going on within these department budgets. And that was really helpful for me. So I will say myself and Michelle Bushnell, you know, I think both got a lot out of that experience. And I hope that we'll continue that. I certainly want to encourage us to continue that in the future. Because that time to just kind of digest what's going on, make some recommendations, was really helpful, and it was perfect timing for me. So I will say it was, you know, my schedule's pretty densely packed with those meetings, but and they were, you know, long and we got into the weeds, but it was really helpful.
I would think, you know, if it would be an annual process, that it would be the two rookies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I, you know, for Rex to sit in that. Oh, what, 11, 12 years?
I mean, he could definitely add some value as far as, you know, perspective on what's been happening there.
Right, but. Yeah, but I guess for the learning from what the departments do, it's kind of going the other direction. And then when you have the open forum, you know, then it's still opportunities.
Yeah.
But it would be interesting how much more efficient the process would become if the two newbies were, let's say you were at the equivalent experience of a 4-year after two, or a 5-year after two. How much quicker the process would go in the public sessions.
Mm.
And that's one of the things that I guess I'm kind of on a jag about, is how do you make the public meetings more efficient and more effective, getting the right things done also, but in a timely fashion instead of being drawn out and so laborious.
Yeah. We haven't had too many really drawn out ones since I've been on the board. I think we had one or two that were really an all-dayer. But, you know, usually we're able to get through all the items by the early afternoon. And a lot of that is, you know, honestly, the staff's hard work, making sure that they bring something that's, you know, fully ready, that they've analyzed the alternatives, and they do a good job of that.
They don't use big words?
Yeah. Like alternative?
Yeah.
The options?
Yeah. Well, and how the meetings are, you know, Robert's rules. I mean, there's a reason why that's there.
Sure.
Well, don't talk about something before there's a motion. Then there's an opportunity for discussion.
I have to say, our process for that is a little kookier. At the City of Eureka, I think maybe we were almost overabundant with our caution, but the sequence of things went a little bit differently. Now, folks kind of just jump in with their thoughts throughout the presentation, and I'm getting used to it. There's a little bit of a different personality swath with the county.
Yeah, and everybody feels that their opinions are viable.
Sure.
I get it. Yeah. You know, and you guys have that Brown Act thing that you have to worry about.
Yep.
So you can't be discussing things outside of the public setting.
That's true. And I don't think people realize that, you know, only two of us can talk about any particular matter in advance. And sometimes that doesn't even happen. So a lot of times, you know, we really are having the, you know, people always, you know, speak to the importance.
Discovering in public.
Yeah. People speak to the importance of transparency, but I don't think they realize. But then they'll turn around and go, those supervisors sure are a bunch of doofs. And it's because, you know, we're kind of having to work out all the kinks in real time, live in front of people in a way because of the Brown Act. So, you know, that's what transparency in government sometimes looks like, is a little bit of wonkiness.
Well, and you can understand the rationalization for the legislation.
Absolutely.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But the inefficiency, the cost of that, I don't think a lot of folks really understand.
Another thing about the Brown Act that I think is kind of interesting is we're not really supposed to say how we're going to vote before we vote, before we hear public comment.
Boy, does that one not get paid attention to.
Well, people always ask, like, oh, so how are you going to vote on this issue? And I'm a little bit of a stickler about saying, like, well, you know, I'm, you know, maybe sometimes I'll say, well, my inclination is this, but I want to hear all the public comment. Or usually I'll just say I need to wait till we have the public meeting.
Now, is that before the meeting or is that during the meeting?
Oh, beforehand. Yeah.
Because, you know, it can be defined both ways.
Yeah, good point.
If you're saying, I'm going to vote for this and here's why, before there's a motion.
It's really that it has
kind of
to
out
come
of order then.
It has to come after public comment. So after you've heard all the public's perspective, and that's what I mean about the City of Eureka, like, really kept to that that sequence that's dictated by the Brown Act, and, you know, Robert's rules was all very, like, I feel like it was a pretty tight process. And now, yeah, people
and
do say how they're going
to
vote.
It's easy to follow if you follow it.
It really is.
When you start having the exceptions, now people wonder how come one is being treated differently than the other.
Yeah, so we're really supposed to wait till we hear from the public, till the public have a chance to weigh in before we say how we're going to vote. And that's the part that, you know, doesn't always happen that way, but that's how it's intended to be.
Now, if, okay, in a silly moment, I show up and I speak from the little podium and go blah 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 blah.
I'd love to see you there, Brian.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's just waiting for me so they can bounce. Well, you've seen it. Even if I sit in the chairs, everybody's kind of looking, wondering what's going on. Okay, so I go blah blah blah. And then I sit down. If I say something that's cogent,
that's a big word, by the
way.
Yeah.
Okay. Viable, thoughtful, intelligent. I would take your back.
Yeah.
It would have the same stunning impact, I know.
Indeed.
Do you, as one of the electeds, or can the electeds then call somebody back up for additional information or discussion beyond the 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 1 minute, whatever the time limit is, and have additional discovery? Because if that really is where first exposure happens, it's really tough for members of the public to really be dialed in, put together, and be able to present their case and have it understood by everybody.
Sure. Yeah. No, we can. And usually that's really at the discretion of the chair. But, you know, the supervisors can invite someone back up. Let's say, you know, you came up and you spoke to information that nobody in the room knew or had and was really important. And, you know, we had additional questions. That could certainly be at the discretion of the board. I've seen that happen before, certainly. But it's really, you know, everyone gets the same exact amount of time for, like, a first bite at the apple. We get to hear from them, and then we either ask additional information, make a motion, say how we're going to vote, etc. So that's really how it's meant to go. Does it always go like that? You know, no. People get a little wacky.
Well, and the influence of who's running the meeting is a big deal, too. And I don't think a lot of folks understand that unless they've either been one of the others, the electeds, or you know, you're a regular attendee, so you see the differences
sure.
between the different personalities.
I know, we do have such different personalities.
Yeah, and like you said, stickler.
Yep.
You know, do you follow the rules, or do you kind of round the corners a little bit? Do you have a life outside of the meeting or not? I mean, it's all those different flavors come into play.
Sure.
You know, and I would think at the city level, it probably is a little bit more easy to determine that and to see that at work. Huh. You've got a retired person who's the mayor. That tends to be a bigger percentage of their life.
Sure. Yeah.
Rather than somebody who's working, you know, 60 hours a week and, okay, they're a mayor and they're just used to chop, 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 and let's move on.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, now that I kind of, you know, I'm observing the Eureka City Council now that I'm not there, it's interesting, you know, the whole council are all working people, and, you know, you can kind of tell, I hear what you mean about, you know, we've had, I think historically in Humboldt, a lot of folks serving in an office who are retired, and you can tell that they've had a bit more time with staff, with the agenda, you know, maybe talking with constituents between meetings. You know, not that folks don't put in a lot of time and effort. I'm not saying that by any means, but it's kind of an interesting shift to have a lot of people who are working folks serving in public office.
So how do you strike the balance between trusting, believing, and having confidence with staff?
Yeah, that's a tough one. It always is.
Challenging and saying, you know, that you've got questions or help me better understand.
Yeah. I always try to frame it like that. Like, help me understand this matter. And I do bring it to the meeting and I try to give a warning in advance, but sometimes it doesn't work out that way because, you know, occasionally something will come up, for example, in public comment that you didn't foresee. So you really have to kind of work it out on
or
the
walking
dais.
Up the stairs in the morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody
oh, surprise. Or an email you got, you know, 2 minutes before the meeting. That happens a lot too. So, you know, I think, there's just a little push and pull. I try to really get to know staff and department heads in particular to understand, you know, the quality of work that they're putting forward, which is, you know, without a doubt really high, I would say, across the board. People who go into public service, you know, are generally really, like, well-intentioned folks by and large. So,
you know, if you're talking to somebody and that's their career path and you just kind of got... not you, a person, is just elected.
Really,
it would be tough for me to call into question their proficiencies.
Yeah, they're the subject matter experts.
25 years or 30 years, and here
sure
I've been,
have.
You know, 25 hours.
Yeah, and I'm conscious of that dynamic very much, you know.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:47. We'll be back with more from Natalie Arroyo.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:51. We're back with Natalie Arroyo. So when do you get to run the meetings?
Ooh, good question. I don't know what the sequence will be. I'm not in the queue yet, but
right, it probably goes 5-1-2-3-4-5 rather than 5-4-3-2-1.
That sounds great.
And then something goes boom. And
I know Rex is up next.
Yeah.
That's all I know. He's the vice chair and he'll be chair next.
Yeah.
I imagine at that point, then we'll figure out who's the vice chair.
Have some fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the biggest challenge that you got looking at you for summer? What
for
are you looking
summer?
At either knock out or start dealing with?
You know, I really think continuing the process of figuring out this huge puzzle of offshore wind that I know we talked about last week, you know, really getting a handle on what some of the preferred routes are for the transmission of the power and what some of those, you know, what the county's role will be in all of that. I think that'll be going on for the remainder of this year, but I think we'll hopefully start to get more detailed information in the summer. And now that, you know, we're kind of getting to the end of the legislative season for the state. That'll answer some questions for us.
Because it won't be a moving target, or they're going to try to wrap some stuff up?
They're wrapping some stuff up. There are several bills related to whose responsibility it is to do a lot of the boring but important stuff, like the permitting and planning of all of this, like, big infrastructure. So we'll likely have some more information about that by June. And
so the weights and measures.
Yep, all so the weights and measures. Yes, indeed.
Oh. Yep. Hey, nice to see you again.
Good to see you.
Probably be a week or two before I see you next time.
All right. See you real soon.
All right. See everybody else tomorrow.